stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM 100% Data Availability, Costly Mistakes, What Are Your Hot Buttons with IMS Reorganization Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Diane McCollum. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Welcome, everyone, to 100% Data Availability, Costly Mistakes, What Are Your Hot Buttons with IMS Reorganization. My name is Diane McCollum, and I am the worldwide sales leader for IBM's DB2 4Z and DB2 and IMS tools. I will be your host today. Our speakers are Christian Copen, Senior Architect, PECT Software, and Ron Bisciglia, Architect, PECT Software. So now I'd like to turn it over to Ron. Ron?
Thanks, Diane, and welcome, everybody. Hopefully everybody's got availability to the presentation. They are the slides are numbered on the pages, so as we go through it, I'll try to make sure I refer to them so that we can stay up with each other. I want to go ahead to the agenda. Mainly what we want to talk about today is we're going to look at database reorganizations, why they are needed to be done, what people are doing, choosing to do about those, whether they are doing them, whether they're not doing them, what benefits they provide, and also what risks that they can induce by not running them or actually when they're running. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the tools that IBM offers in regards to helping you with the reorganizations. There are several different suites of tools, and they are aimed at different types of environments and for different types of databases and business applications. And we'll go over those and try to make them clear as to what they provide and what a customer may choose to do or what they may need. And then finally, we'll talk a little bit about, in today's world, you know, IMS has been around a long time, obviously, and it has changed and evolved quite a bit, as well as the businesses or the applications that are running IMS. And there are problems with running reorganizations in today's 24/7 world, and we'll try to talk about those and what some of the tools can do to help in that area to get the reorganizations done. Okay, if we go to slide three. Mainly there's three different areas or three different reasons that a database would need to be reorganized. And this is pretty much true for not just IMS, but for all type of DBMSs. The first one is basically performance related. And what we mean by that is to get better response time, to make the end users a little bit happier. I think a lot of us have grown accustomed to, you know, even with the complexity of the worldwide internet, is to get sub-second response time. If you're not getting that, you're not going to be a happy end user and look for different types of alternatives and possibly different customers. So reorganization can improve the performance, make the end users a little bit happier. It can also, through the performance gains, it also uses less CPU consumption, less resources by doing less type of IOs, and so there is cost of computing reductions with the performance as well. Three different areas that an IMS reorganization can improve performance. One is the fragmentation that occurs within IMS. You know, mainly IMS has a lot of different segments, and the segments are placed in different areas. And really, they all make up a single database record, and you want the segments, even though they're IMS segmented, is to be put together so that they all can be retrieved with the fewest amount of IOs. In the HDAM type databases, lots of times there'll be a lot of segments inserted or deleted into the overflow area. And from there, we usually have at least one additional IO to get to that segment, as well as an additional IO to get back into the primary root area. So through reorganization, we can take all the data that's in the overflow and put it back again by the entire database record all in a single block. Also not to be forgotten is the very expensive CI and CA splits that occurs quite often with the secondary indexes. And by just reorganizing a database or an index, we can reduce those and improve performance quite a bit that way as well. The second area of benefit or a reason that a database would need to be reorganized is for space. A lot of these are just to handle current limitations architecturally, both in the ZOS as far as having a certain number of extents or a certain number of volumes within a data set. Possibly there are some IMS limitations as far as a number of data set groups or how many gigabytes can be in a vSAM or OSAM data set. So lots of times we'll have to reorganize in order to reduce those or to handle those or even to expand them if we have a database that's only defined with a certain number of extents or primary secondary allocations and it's growing. We need to reorganize in order to increase that. Finally down there is a reclaim. Lots of times IMS does do a decent job of reusing space that's been deleted, but lots of times you end up with a lot of data. Say we have key ranges that have been deleted or something. There's a lot of space within a data set that can be reclaimed through a database reorganization as well. And finally, the last one down there is DVD changes. Obviously, if we have any type of structural type changes, adding a new segment, increasing segment size, implementing compression on a segment, something like that, we have to do a DVD change. And one other item I wanted to add in here, too, is that lots of times a reorganization can also be used for doing things efficiently, like for purging a lot of data. If we have to, to eliminate a lot of data, maybe it's we don't need to keep that data around anymore, something like that. We can use user exits, which are fairly easy to code, run a reorganization, and we immediately gain the benefits of reclaiming the space that we've had to delete delete the data that we've had done at that time. Okay, if we go on to slide 4. So basically, what we're talking about here is that customers, IMS customers have a choices of either doing reorganizations or not doing reorganizations. I know we all have to do reorganizations at some point in time, but what I'm talking about on the bottom bullet here is that we can do reorganizations proactively. In other words, we can do them more often. We can provide better performance for our applications, and also we can actually reduce the risk of outages that may occur from space limitations. If we don't do reorganizations, obviously what we're doing is we are most likely the application, especially if any type of update activity, will be less performance and also a possibly additional risk of outages there. Okay. On slide 5, mainly this lays out the different the 5 different sets of tools or different reorganization options that IBM currently provides. If you look up at the top, this is the standard set of IMS utilities that's been around since IMS was introduced. Basically, they do get the job done. They do come with IMS, and the database must be offline. Most of us probably know they're not really high-performing, but if we have a long batch window where the databases are offline, they can get the job done. The second suite is the high-performance utilities. They also do run in a standalone mode, which basically means that they have each utility has to run as a separate job step. The database, again, must be offline, and what we've gained here is we have a lot better performance versus the standard IMS utilities, as well as some additional functionality and so on. We have a parallel reorganization option. This basically takes all your individual steps, puts them into a single job step for you, so it reduces some of the complexity of the reorganization job. It is still some more performance gain. It does have some options as far as keeping the database in a read-only access or an inquiry mode during the reorganization process, but the updates cannot occur during this time. We also have an online reorganization facility. This is similar to the parallel reorganization in that it is a single job step. It does run all the individual steps of a reorganization for you. It does allow full update capability while the reorganization occurs. There is a small outage or DBR time done at the end of the reorg, and we'll go over this in a little more detail throughout the presentation of what that outage occurs and how it's managed and so on. And then also there's the HALDB online reorg, which is new with IMS version 9. It does require your databases to be HALDB in order for this to occur. There is no outage at all. It is completely IMS recoverable. And also, it does come with IMS as well. Now, what we're going to do the rest of the presentation, we are going to focus more on the online reorganization facility. It does also include, as we'll talk about, the HP utilities as well. And then I'll try to make reference. The HALDB online reorg is a little bit different than the other type of processes, but I'll try to make reference throughout the presentation of how it differs and so we can get a clear understanding of these options. Okay, if we go to slide 6, this is a diagram of what a offline or standard using the standard IMS utilities, HP high-performance utilities job if we look at the beginning, what has to happen is the database has to DBR'd or IMS has to be brought down during this time. We then run each individual step of the reorganization as a separate job step, unload, load. Possibly, if we have secondary indexes involved, we need to have a job to rebuild the secondary indexes as well. If we have logical relationships, we have to do the prefix resolution and update step. And also, very highly recommended to do an image copy so we're now recoverable at that point in time. Once that's all done, we then have to restart the database, and hopefully the operator is quick in getting that. But the diagram here basically shows that while this reorganization process is running, that the database is unavailable, and basically you're not able to run any business against that data at that time. Now, this option is, you know, for some applications, if we do have a long batch window, possibly if we don't, if we have some time at night that we can do that, this is a very viable option to do that during that time. And then we have basically concern, okay, can we use the standard IMS utilities, which come with IMS? Do we need the high-performance utilities because we only have a small batch window? Do we need the parallel reorg type utilities to reduce some of that window and also make jobs a little bit easier? And also the other thing to point out is that all five of the options from the previous page, including the online reorg and the HealthDB OLR, can also be run against these databases if we do have an option where the database is unavailable for a period of time. And slide 7 shows a diagram of an online reorg. This basically is with an online reorg facility, which is quite different than the HealthDB online reorg. And here what we've done is that the online reorg, basically we still run the standard sets of utilities, which is the unload, load, indexes, prefix resolution, image copy. But prior to running those, we have a process that creates a set of what we call shadow data sets. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to copy the primary database to a set of shadow data sets. And then if you look at the bottom of the diagram, we start what we call change capture, which is basically a data replication type process where any updates that are occurring to the primary database, we're going to capture and send those over to the reorganization process, and we'll replicate those to the shadow data set. So then what we do is we run all the standard sets of job steps, the unload load that would normally occur. Automatically determines whether secondary indexes has to be done or not for you, if there's logical relationships involved, and also what data sets need to be image copied. It does enforce an image copy for you for any type of recoverable type data sets. And finally, if we look over at the right-hand side, after we've done all of those processes, what will happen is that it will then finish the replication process of all the changes that were occurring to the production data set against the shadow data sets. Okay, realize that at this time, as nothing has really happened to your production data sets yet, so if there's any type of error or whatever, is that we haven't introduced any problem into your production environment, and so if, say, you ran out of space during the load or the allocations were wrong or something like that, is that we have not affected your business application at this point in time. And finally, what ends up happening is after we've replicated all the changes, we then have to do a DBR, which is taking the database offline, update your recon information and DBRC information, and then rename the data sets, and then put the database back online, which happens automatically. Now, what we've done here, compared to the traditional offline reorg process, is we reduce that DBR time down to a couple of seconds, possibly a minute or two, depending on how many data sets have to be renamed. And what we'll talk about in more detail in the presentation is that we try to make that, there's ways to manage that so that it is not a disruptive process. And you can control, when this DBR is occurring and so on. And it's really not that the database is not available during the time. It's just that things are paused or quiesced for a period of time. So we'll go over that, but keep in mind that it is only a short period of time that this is occurring. Okay. On slide 8, with the online reorganization facility, we will show that you're basically going to interface with a single job step here, but under the covers, and what you're going to end up licensing is all these individual utilities, which is unload, load, and image copy. Optionally, if you want to run pointer checker during image copy, You can include that as well, but it's not a hard requirement. And if you do have logical relationships and you want to use the online re-arg, it would require the high-performance prefix resolution as well. And then also I have listed down there the fact that IMS Tools Online System Interface, which is some shared technology that some other products use as well, which we do things to, like, issue the DBR and start commands. That's required, but it's not it's a separate FM idea why I listed it on there. But the point is, as we'll show, is that you have these utilities. IMS Online Rearch Facility automatically interfaces with them, so you don't really need to have that knowledge. But if you need image copies to run recovery, or if you need to run pointer checker outside of Online Rearch, those are available to you as well. Okay, if we go to slide 9, this is, again, another diagram which tries to show you what happens in a single online re-arg job. And basically, you know, you'll submit an MVS job. It will execute the online re-arg. It automatically will capture or do all the data replication for you from your, you know, as it's reorganizing the database. If we look at the gray areas, those are the things that are specific to the online re-arg process versus the standalone utilities. If we look at the beginning, there's the shadow data set allocation, and where it copies the primary database over to the shadow data sets. It'll then run HP unload, HP load. If it needs secondary indexes rebuilt, it'll rebuild those. And if you notice, we don't use the index builder in this process. There were some interface issues and some things that need to be supported, like shared secondary indexes and stuff like that we thought were important. So it doesn't require that, but it does rebuild secondary indexes if need be. If there's logical, it'll automatically invoke the prefix resolution. Will run image copies. It does enforce image copies to be run before any more updates will occur to the shadow data sets. And then it finishes the data replication or apply processes and goes through the data set rename at the end. So there is a lot of things happening in this address space, but again, if you think about the complexity of a reorganization job and all this is handled, as well as all the data replication that occurs from your online IMS systems over to the online reorganization job. So there is a lot of things that occur, but this is all managed for you by the online reorg. Okay, one of the main reasons that people are thinking about going to HALDB or are told to go to HALDB is to address the issue of 4 gig or 8 gig for VSAM or OSAM data sets. And that's a very good option, obviously, if we do have a database that's getting there, we need to do that or pay the price for multiple DSGs or something like that. But one of the real advantages that I believe for HALDB is actually to segment your data or to segment your business so that you can, without application changes or without major application changes, you can manage your business data independently. In other words, think if you have your data, if your business is separated by time zones or different states or different countries, and you have different batch windows or different windows or different hours of business for this type of data, well, if they were partitioned, you would be able to operate to do things like database reorganizations independently without affecting the other areas of business. So, and a lot of us are already doing this with user type partitioning, but HALDB does offer that advantage. And one of the reasons I point that out is that the online reorg facility does allow you to process a single partition of a HALDB database as well as an entire HALDB database if need be, whatever your choice is. So if you do use or take advantage of some of these wonderful things that HALDB has, is that it does allow you to manage those as needed or as you prefer. It is the one tool that does reorganize all full function databases, which is basically everything except for a non-fast path. And it does allow you to do secondary indexes. Again, one of the performance issues was addressing CI and CI splits, which can occur quite frequently when secondary indexes or indexes and cells are involved. And this allows you to basically, it's not a full reorganization process, but it does allow you to remove any CI-CA or reduce the CI-CA splits as well as delete any logically related segments out of an index. Okay, slide 11. A lot of IMS environments have additional complexity from the taking advantage of the data sharing environments that IMS offers. And this actually, what you're thinking about a data sharing environment, if you need to take the database offline, you know, is it, how much knowledge is involved, how much communication is involved? And one of the things that this offers for you is the fact that it can communicate to all the different IMSs. It automatically detects what IMSs are sharing a database or using an update or updating a database, make sure that any changes that occur on any IMS system in a data sharing environment are captured and replicated. And all this is done basically through the coupling facility. But it does automate a lot of this for you, reducing a lot of complexity of actually running the reorganization job. In today's, on slide 12 here, in today's problem, hopefully what I've kind of explained is that I think that it's advantageous to run reorganizations more on a proactive type of basis where you can actually do things to benefit the application by running a reorganization rather than looking at a reorg job as, well, okay, this is another weekend work or it's a holiday, you know, time, or when can I possibly get a time to take to do a database reorganization. And hopefully with the online reorg facility, if you have an application that's running all the time and you still want to provide some of the benefits that a reorganization can run, is that you can go ahead and do it when desired versus as needed. But today's problem is that, again, there's a lot of globalization going on. There's a lot of increased services needed to be done. And so basically these applications or these businesses are running 24/7, and so there's very, very little time where I can take a database offline in order to be able to do a database reorganization. The other thing is that IMS has done a wonderful job of allowing IMS data to be accessed from anywhere. And if you think about it, there's a lot of different places it can be accessed, and it's very difficult to say, okay, who can make a decision when I have a batch window? Does an IMS DBA really know all the different end users out there that are accessing IMS data? So it's very difficult to find a time to take a database offline to do these type of things. And the other thing is we'll talk about is, I think everyone is aware of this, is that even though the volume of data that's maintained in IMS has been growing and growing, I think most people would look at it and say today that we don't have the same number of IMS people running these reorganizations. And if we do have the same number of people, are they really, you know, are they in really knowledgeable about all the different nuances that IMS has? If we looked at the complexity of all the individual job steps that actually are involved in running a reorg, there's a lot of knowledge that needs to be done. And so we have to try to address these reorganization issues with a reduced number of staff. Let's talk about maintaining data availability first. If we go down to slide 14, this is what I was referring to is, and of all the wonderful things that IMS provides as far as how you can access IMS data. ODBA applications, anywhere, you know, through an internet we have that. CICS can access IMS data. We also have a lot of BMPs that can run, probably a little more traditional access. Terminals, if we're running the ADC, that we can access IMS data that way, and also any type of OTMA applications. Again, the point here is that there is potentially a lot of different end users out there, and it's difficult to make a decision, or difficult for one individual and possibly an IMS DBA to know, can I really take the database offline during this particular time to do some type of maintenance? Well, what we're going to do is, as I mentioned, is that there is a period that we have that the DBR has done. And even though it's a very small period of time, it's still meant to be non-disruptive. during that time, and we'll go in and talk about these different areas right here and what and how that DVR time is managed. Okay, and 15. Basically, this is probably the easiest one for an IMS DBA to look at, is that if it's accessed by a BMP, traditionally you can look at it and say, okay, let me, you know, something's on the job schedule, and I know when these BMPs are going to run. Let me just stop them for that period of time, or I'm familiar with MBS, you know, just let me just look at them and pause them. Some applications, though, say you have an ATM, and someone goes to an ATM and says, okay, give me a list of my most recent transactions, and that kicks off a BMP. Well, lots of times, and those are not really controllable when they're running because they're done by the end user. And so there are some type of applications where even a BMP or a period of when BMPs are running can't be controlled. So what we do at the online reorganization facility is that there is a interface to allow when that DBR occurs or needs to be done is that it basically will pause those BMPs and handle it so that they'll basically stop, allow the DBR to occur, data sets renamed, database restarted, BMP automatically restarted for you. Two options, one through the program restart facility and the other one if you need the full checkpoint capability, or otherwise there is a region controller front end to do that. Okay, on 16, basically if we're accessing data through through IMS, we have a terminal connected to IMS itself, and a new transaction arrived. Well, IMS actually does a really good job of handling this for us already. What ends up in here is that the transaction is put on the suspend queue, and then once the database is restarted, that transaction will automatically be requeued. So there will be a delay of period depending on when that transaction arrived and when the data set renaming completes, but the transaction, you know, the end user is not going to get an ugly message saying, okay, there's a event code or whatever. It will actually complete. Also, we'll talk about a little bit that we can normally determine when the DBR, we can control when that DBR is going to occur so that we can reduce the impact or potential impact. If we know, you know, theoretically you can run an online reorganization at noon if need be, but most likely if my business is a little bit slower or a little bit less in the middle of the night, then I'll go ahead and schedule the DBR to occur there. So we'll show how that can be controlled as well. Okay, if we have IMS data being accessed through CICS, this is not handled quite as efficiently as whether it's coming through IMS as well, but what we have here is that basically the schedule as it occurs is that individual thread. It's not actually CICS itself, but just that one thread that needs to access IMS data that will be suspended for a period of time until the database is restarted. And again, we have that option of controlling of the window of when the DBR and their data set renaming will occur, so it's less likely that some of these transactions will be affected. And in 18, again, the same thing through ODBA is that it's basically handled the same way as CICS. And then if you have an application, your ODBA application, if you does any type of multitasking, it's basically just that one task that's going to be suspended for a period of time. And again, as soon as the database is restarted, the request for IMS data will allow to be continued. So one of the things is that you can theoretically run an online reorganization at high noon if need be, but if we wanted to determine or control, you know, say we do have a period of time that even though it's 24/7, that's less likely for transactions or BMPs or whatever to be running in, we can tell it, okay, do all these processes against these shadow data sets. And again, nothing has happened to my production environment, so there's no impact to my production environment up until this time. I've basically replicated all the changes, but I don't want to do my DBR yet because I think there's still a fair amount of activity going on. And what will happen is you can say, okay, wait until 3 o'clock in the morning, continue replicating data from my production environment over to my shadow data sets. And once I hit 3 o'clock in the morning, boom, go ahead and do the DBR, rename the data sets, put it back online. The other option, too, is that you can say, okay, I only have a period of time from 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. if I have not gotten to the point where I'm ready to do the DVR yet by 4 o'clock in the morning, then don't do it. And then what will happen here, you have the option to say, okay, continue replicating until the next day at 3 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, go ahead and cancel, and if it's, you know, fairly short-running re-arg, I can just resubmit it when I have another window here where I can do the DVR. So basically we have some options of controlling when this the suspension of incoming messages and stuff like that could occur. On page 20 here, one of the things I want to mention too is that we are trying to get to a full 24/7 type of environment. And one of the things also is that we've done a lot of work to be as non-disruptive or as minimal impact into all the different types of areas that you can access IMS data. Well, one of the important things to remember as well is that what happens if we need to install additional maintenance into any of these products or into the online re-arc part of itself. We are aware of that, and the thing is, once it's online re-arc is initially installed into one of your IMS systems, any future type maintenance does not require an IMS subsystem outage. You can actually install the maintenance while IMS itself is still up. And then also we do verify that since the online re-arc job is running as a batch job, and it has to connect to all these different environments in all these different IMS subsystems in a data sharing environment, it will verify that they're all at an acceptable maintenance level that it can, you know, replicate the changes properly. Basically, the end result here is what we're trying to say is that in today's complex environments, is no matter where the data is being accessed from, is that, yeah, there is a period of time where we still need to do the DVR, and they may experience a brief delay, but the data, it is non-disruptive, and the data is, you know, still available during that time. And this is all, you know, if you think about all the different environments and what a DBA has to do, is a database online, is it offline, where is it being accessed from, who's accessing it, and all this is managed for you. Okay, let's talk about a little bit about today's DBA, or even, you know, the trend in IMS DBAs. Obviously, many of us there is a lot of IMS skill and knowledge that, you know, that has retired, has grown a little bit older. IMS has been around for a fair amount of time. Also, a lot of these skills have moved on to other type of DBMSs or other type of DBAs are doing other type of tasks. And also, we have a lot of different environments where there's a lot of other DBMSs, and all of a sudden you have a DBA, and they need to manage all these different type of environments. And if you look at what an IMS reorg consists of versus, say, running a DB2 reorg or other type of DBMSs, is that there's a lot more complexity involved in this traditional standalone IMS than in other ones. If you go on to slide 24, you know, basically if you want to reorganize a table space, you type in reorg table space in the table space name. We don't have to worry about, you know, where it's being accessed from, and it, you know, and it'll take care of it for you. In IMS, remember, we have to DBR the database, run all these individual job steps, and then restart it when it's done. So there's a lot more complexity there. Also, is a database online or offline? Well, one of the things that we need to control is it being accessed somewhere? Well, if it's the same process, regardless of whether it's online and offline, and let the software itself or the tool itself handle that for you, that would make things a lot easier. And that's one of the things that the online reorg, as well as the HLDB online reorg process itself, will handle. Also, one thing that I want to mention too here is that the HLDB online reorg is no longer like the traditional steps where it actually runs all these processes outside of IMS itself. It is kicked off by a command, and it does run within IMS, so it's a lot more similar to these other DBMSs, and hopefully making things a little bit easier for these people that are tasked with managing multiple environments to understand. And again, the JCL complexity is, there is a lot of different processes and nuances to set up, you know, for traditional IMS reorg. If we go to slide 25, This is a sample of the JCL that would be needed to run a single-step online reorganization. And this is basically whether the reorg is online, no matter where it's being accessed from, whether it's in a data sharing environment. And basically, the only thing that you really need to change, and this obviously is theoretically here, but the DBD name, which is similar to if you were issuing the reorg tablespace command, is that you have to put in your tablespace name, but here you just put in your DBD name. It will automatically determine whether there's secondary indexes involved, and it will automatically determine whether it's HALDB or non-HALDB. It can automatically allocate the shadow data sets for you. If we look at the last two lines down there where it says ICDIN and data class, those are basically parameters that are used to set up your image copy, which it can dynamically allocate for you. And that's, you know, obviously people can have different requirements in different types of environments, but theoretically it can all be done using the same JCL with a single step. And go back and think about the diagram that showed all the different processes that were being done as far as HP unload, HP load, pointer checker, image copy, prefix resolution, all that is automatically run for you. And so as I tried to explain earlier, is the interface here is actually done just through online reorg, and then all the traditional steps of the reorganization process are determined and executed and managed for you. Okay, in slide 26, I think we've probably covered most of these. But basically, theoretically, in the same JCL can be used for all databases. Obviously, there's going to be some needs if you need to do some different types of things or want to do some different type of things as far as maybe processing an unload file downstream or something like that. It would need to be changed. But theoretically, is that the same JCL, which makes it a little bit easier. The knowledge of what individual steps need to be done based on database type. I think some of us have seen some questions recently on the IMS list server about like how do you determine what type of database it is and what needs to be done. Well, if you think about what, you know, these people are being asked to manage these databases, you know, how difficult is it for them to know if there's secondary indexes that need to be rebuilt or if they need to be rebuilt during the reorganization process or if even a prefix resolution needs to be run. So these are processes that I think are preventing people from running reorganizations to provide some of these benefits that you can gain from the reorganization process itself. It also does force an image copy, which IMS does a great job of giving us a warning message that an image copy is needed for a database, but it doesn't still go out and enforce it. And so what this does is that any type of recoverable database, you're going to run a reorganization. And again, we've seen some recent activity on the IMS list server is that is an image copy required, or can we use a reorganization as a backup type? And really, it's not a, you know, if you're running a reorganization without an image copy, you're getting into a non-recoverable type situation. Also, all the sharing type of situations, how many different IMSs are using this database, you know, where are these all these IMSs running? These are handled for you. So it's hopefully this reorganization process takes a lot of those reasons for not running a reorganization out, and it makes it a little bit simpler to go ahead and run these reorganizations to provide some of these benefits for you. And finally, if we go to slide 27, one of the potential problems of areas when running a reorganization is that I have to delete and redefine or reallocate my production data sets. And where is all this JCL or all these IDCAM statements maintained? And when I'm running a reorganization, are they the same attributes that were used prior? There's a lot of management in all that JCL and all those control statements. Well, what the online reorganization does for you is that it is reorganizing to a shadow data sets. It can automatically allocate those for you so that the databases are still in the same location, they still have the same SMS constructs. So someone has spent all this time allocating this data set properly, and their online reorganization process will maintain that for you automatically. This will prevent some mistakes. Optionally, if you need to say the database is growing and you need to expand the data and set sizes, or if you need to move it to a different volumes or to different SMS constructs, it does give you the flexibility to go ahead and pre-allocate these data sets where you would like them, run the online reorganization process, and then additional reiterations of the online reorganization process will use that new information for you automatically. So hopefully what we've tried to show here is that there is a lot of benefit by running reorganizations. It's a proactive type of activity to do in your IMS environment. It can improve your IMS applications. What are the reasons that we're not running these? Data availability is a big one, is that we don't have that option of taking the database offline. We're not sure how to even determine what is a good time or what potentially might be a good time to do that, because it's very difficult when it's being accessed from so many different environments. And then also, the IMS reorganization process, if you look at it compared to other type of DBMSs or all the different things involved, it is fairly involved. And so a lot of people look at that, well, this is kind of risky, or there's potentially a lot of problems that could be done. And what we've tried to do is to address those issues so that that reorganizations can be run and provide the benefit for your customers using IMS. Okay, that's about all I had, and I guess I'm opening up to any questions or comments that people may have.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically today. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 if you do have a question. We'll take our first question from Ralph Neuberger with Cigna.
Hi, good morning, Ron.
Hi, Ross.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Page 7 of your documentation, it's interesting. Can you just quickly run through the copy primary database process and what program you use, and also the unload and load?
Sure.
And why?
Okay, sure. Basically, the copy is just something that's internal to the online reorg process itself. Standard MVS type thing. We're not using any type of snapshot or DFS SMS at this point in time. So it is basically just a standard read and write, and to do the copy process itself. We also, during that copy process, we also part of the capture or data replication process is to capture any updates that are occurring. So basically the copy is kind of like a fuzzy type copy, but then we'll go ahead and do a roll forward type process against the shadow data sets in order to make it a true copy, a true replication of the production data sets.
Is that like a block level copy or cylinder level versus a segment level for speed?
Correct. Yes, that's correct. It is a physical block level CI type thing.
Now, what I'm trying to figure out is why we're doing that when we typically now just unload to a shadow data set in our current process. How does that work with copy, and then why do we unload and load against a shadow with a copy?
Okay. Well, in order to do the unload, you have to have a data set that has that is not being updated.
Correct. Right.
And so I think that if your current process is doing that, you probably have the database offline while the unload process is working.
Read only. Correct.
Okay. Well, this process is actually occurring while updates are allowed to the database as well.
Okay.
So that's the reason for actually creating a true copy or a shadow data set of the primary. Because updates are occurring while that copy is occurring as well. And then once we've done the roll forward type recovery against the shadow data sets, then we can actually run the unload against the shadow while the production environment is still being updated.
Okay, so would it be a full unload or partial?
It's full.
Huh. Okay. Is there the ability to unload to another device, another data set for application purposes?
Yes, you can during this process. And I think that was one of the things why I talked a little bit about the fact that theoretically you'd have the same JCL for every database, but if some of them, if you needed to create an unload file that you needed to process downstream or afterwards, you can do this. That's an option.
Okay.
In this as well.
In multiple formats? Or one?
Currently, it's just the it's the one that's the standard with the native IMS utilities. It's the only format that is currently supported.
Okay. There's just a couple more questions. Does the DBR, of course, you don't do force end of volume, or I guess we have that option, but normally we wouldn't do that if we're doing a lot of reworks for a lot of log switching.
It's optional, yeah.
Okay.
You can do it if you want it for, you know, if your recovery is needed or whatever, but it's optional.
Okay, and do you recommend the shadows be empty or not? I mean, I know you can reuse these things and sometimes get into trouble, but...
Well... there's two different ways. Some people I've seen like to leave the shadow data sets existing so that they know that the space is always there. But it does require you to have, duplicate data sets, but, storage is a little bit cheaper these days. So you can have them pre-allocated out there. It really doesn't make a difference whether they're empty or not. For vSAN, we'll reload into them if they're reusable.
Very good. And the allocation piece we can manage separately. I wrote that down because we use dummy vols in our SMS routines to allocate our data sets to split them out by pool, so we can still manage that, right?
Correct.
Okay. My last question is, or two more, hanging up DBRs, PSPs. You mentioned that there's a pseudo 3303 for that.
Right.
Could you just walk us through a potential hard fail or soft fail or database recovery situation during an online reorg process? Are there any pitfalls? Are there any single points of failure or integrity loss or anything like that?
During the online reorg?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things to point out is that nothing is really occurring to your production data sets up until the DBR time, which is a good, in my eyes, a good risk thing against your production environment, because we're actually doing everything against your shadow data sets. So if there is a problem, like your allocations for your new data sets or DVD changes or whatever were bad, run out of space or something in your indexes, that's only occurring against your shadow data sets. So there's nothing that's happened to the production environment at that point in time. Any type of recovery for your online reorg up until the DVR is basically restarting the job. There's no, because what's going to happen if the online reorg job fails, it no longer knows about all the updates that might have occurred. So what we do if it fails up until we start the DBR is that what you have to do is restart the online reorg process. Now, once the DBR occurs, we have a thing that we call a online reorg restart data set, and we keep all the information that we've done about all the image copies, about the notify reorg, and we actually create a batch log for the changes that we've replicated. We keep all that information, we've saved all that information in what we call our restart data set. So anything that's occurred, anything failure after the DBR, we have all that information saved. The database is still DBR'd. And then what you can do is, if there's some type of error, is to correct it, and then basically it's just to resubmit that same ORF process. It knows that it failed during some process after the DBR, and then it will pick up from where it left off and try to complete the renaming or all the DBRC notifications. So there is some potential failures between the DBR and the start at the end of the reorg process, but it is all restartable. And also, the database is offline. There's some things to make sure that we do things like put the database in prohibit authorization status so that no one can get authorized for it. There's a user mod available to prevent batch jobs that are not running with DBRC to get authorized against that database while it's DBR'd. So there is protection to make sure that no updates are occurring if it were to fail after the DBR and before it's restarted.
I guess you just prompted me two more things. Is there any emulation capabilities or simulation for a simulated reorg?
Yeah, there's you can there's some options, what we call a takeover option, that you can tell it get to the DVR and don't do anything. In other words, for like a testing type of an environment, you can say don't do any takeover. So it'll actually go through all the processes. You can make sure that everything's in place, get comfortable with it. And then, but once it gets a DVR, it'll just say, fine, I'm not actually going to do anything to your production environment, and just end.
Does that mean we could use that as some kind of intelligence reorg to tell us if we really need one or not? Or is there plans for something like that? Sort of like a scan type thing? Or?
Yeah, I don't think that it really goes that far yet.
Okay.
I think that might be addressed sometime in the future, but it doesn't really do that yet. One of the things I forgot to mention here is that it does, you know, we are running, you have optionally, you have the capability to run pointer checker as far as this online reorg process and all the processes as far as, you know, creating history data and all those type of reports. Those are available during this process as well. So you can still maintain some of that information, but we don't have the smarts yet to say, okay, this is really providing me a lot of benefit during the load processes versus where I was at. Go ahead and do the takeover or not. We don't have that
okay.
in there, but that's probably a very good suggestion.
Is that pointer? Thank you. Is that pointer checker fault tolerant because of changing data? Currently, when we run pointer checker with databases changing, we get a lot of failures.
Yeah, this is running against the shadow data sets, so
right.
there really no updates occurring to the shadows at the point in time that we're running the image copy and the pointer, which the pointer checker is going to run under image copy, is actually a true batch image copy. Since we're running against the shadow data sets, there's no updates occurring.
Okay.
So it wouldn't have to deal with that.
Okay, so the value of that would be a reorganized picture from a pointer checker versus
correct.
The current disorganized state.
Correct.
All right, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good questions.
Thank you.
And just a reminder that it's star one at this time if you do have a question. Next, we'll hear from Wachovia's Jim Pearson.
Thank you. I think the previous caller answered a whole bunch of questions, but one thing I just wanted to verify, this process and set of utilities can be used for either full function and HALDB.
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay.
And one of the, if we go to slide 10.
Right.
I guess there is some confusion whether HALDB is actually a full function data plan or not, but we kind of term it. The only thing that really can't run against is FastPath, and the only full function database type it doesn't support is HSAM.
Okay. Then I'm a little confused by, on slide 30, you mentioned some restrictions, and it said there, all partitions must be reorganized, but on 10 you said you could do it by partition.
Yeah, on slide 30 it's basically if there's logical relationships involved in a HALDB, then that's the only time that we cannot do an individual partition.
Okay, I didn't see that. You're right, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
Our next question comes from St. Paul Travelers, Ann Lander.
Hello, I got two questions for you. Does online reorg facility talk nice with the DBRC if you have DBRC equals force?
Yes, it'll handle that fine.
Okay, and for HP load, we use the FRR and extents facility to make sure our OCM databases don't go by past the 60 extents so that it can be used in real time. Does this allow us to still use FRR in?
We have ways to pass. It doesn't actually use FRN, but it does allow you to pass parameters to each of the individual utilities. Would that one be? And there's certain ones that we have to control because some things we're doing, but that's, you know, mostly the type of things that you don't need, basically like compressed headers and stuff like that. But the unload, the load, the image copy, the pointer checker, and the prefix resolution. Is that you actually specify them in the sysin that online reorg uses, but it does pass those options to the utilities themselves.
So extents is still available?
Yes.
Because it's come in very handy.
Okay. Yeah, it's available.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And just a final reminder to press star 1 at this time if you have a question. We'll take our next question from Pete Hott with Wachovia.
I have a question. During your online image copy, online reorg, the image copy we're making with the shadow, when is the, so when you finally did the DBR and start the database, the image copy is before the all the change apply?
Yes, that's correct. It is before the change apply. And our apply actually creates a true IMS log. And what we do is after we DBR the database, we'll actually do a pseudo DBRC notifications of things like the image copies and also the batch log into your production recon. So it looks like what the process does, it actually makes it look like the reorg itself, the image copy, and all the updates actually occurred at a timestamp in between the DBR and start. And even though that's only a couple of seconds, all the timestamps are adjusted into that window right there. And how this happens is that we actually, when we're running against the shadows, obviously we have to run with DBRC no, or in the case of HALDB, we create some temporary recons to run against. So everything that's actually occurring is not actually updating your production recons. We actually go in and do it in between the DBR and start time, and we adjust the timestamps accordingly. Does that answer your question?
Yes. And you said that this online reorg is come with IMS, or is it optional?
It's optional. It's an additional tool. If you look back on the one slide that showed the five different options that IBM currently offers, which I think was slide five, is that the standard IMS utilities, which are your batch ones, those come with IMS. The three in the middle, HP utilities, parallel reorg, and online reorganization, those are all additional charge tools. And the HALDB OLR comes with IMS as well, and it's not an additional charge over your IMS charges.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next, we'll take a follow-up from Ralph Neuberger.
Hi, it's Ralph again. Listen, Ron.
Yeah.
We were just sitting here talking about this. I guess there's some database changes you can make with online reorg, and some that you really can't.
Right.
Is that fully documented somewhere?
Yeah, basically the changes that we cannot do are ones that change the hierarchical sequence of your segments.
Okay.
And mainly that we can't allow that to happen is because we have to replicate all the changes that are occurring to your production data sets into the shadow data sets. And so we have to know how to apply those, and we haven't gotten that smart enough yet. But things like, obviously, changing randomizer parameters, those are easy enough to do. If you needed to add segments, as long as it's added at the bottom of the hierarchy, that can be done. Increase or decrease segment sizes, implement compression, those type of things can be done.
Okay, so you got auto sort built in for sort pools and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions. Mr. Basile, I'll turn things back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. We just wanted to thank everybody for taking the time out of the schedules today. We appreciate you taking that time, and hopefully we've at least offered a few ideas to help your IMS applications. I think Dan wanted me to tell you that there are additional type teleconferences that are being planned, and please be aware that those will be coming out in the future. And again, thank you everybody for participating today.
And that does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect.